My name is Mike Herbert. I'm a professor emeritus from Bemidji State University. I retired 2 years ago from BSU, and after teaching part-time, full-time for a total of 33 years. Prior to that, I was in law enforcement for 22 years, and as an undergrad, I attended Marine Corps Officer Training School in Quantico, Virginia.
So your previous book is called Leaving Campus, a World War II epitaph, and it's an account of the 20 men originally here at Bemidji State College as students who then volunteered for military service and later lost their lives in service. So this new book that we're going to talk about is sharing specifically the stories of the women who served. What got you interested in bringing these stories together for both these men and women who served?
Well, I think it was... The first book was about the Bemidji State College students who volunteered for military service, and they didn't have to. Because they were college students, they were exempt from the draft at that time, but they volunteered anyway. And I started thinking, I was assuming there were quite a few women from Beltrami County that also volunteered for military service who did not have to. And so I thought it was important that that we keep their memories alive, too. They were just as brave and served our country honorably, and they deserve to be recognized.
Okay, so according to your research, how many women in Beltrami County enlisted in the war?
That's a really good question, and I struggled with that a little bit because what I'm afraid of is that someone who reads the book or that hears this podcast or whatever, they're going to say, "Wait, my grandmother was in there," and I'm sure I missed I missed some, but I was comfortable when I finished with the book that I'd reached out as much as I could. I used social media, flyers around town. I mean, I did as much as I could. And so I'm comfortable with the amount of people that I was able to find, and that was, I believe, 102 women that are in the book.
I'm a little overwhelmed at the scope of this. How did you actually get a list of these women? Did you have to really dig through the archives and newspapers? Can you talk about that process?
Well, as you know, I lived in the archives for about 2 years. Going through every Northern student that I could find, social media, the National Archives. There are genealogy websites out there. There are military websites out there. There were a lot of resources for me to have access to that really allowed me to put this book together.
It's not like there was a list available that certain people went to Bemidji State College. So, did you glean that information basically from, the newspaper articles and archives? Was there documentation here at Bemidji State that said these people served, or was that a bigger project as far as, digging into finding that information?
Yeah, it's another great question. Yeah. Bemidji State actually has a list of all of the students, male students, but not the female students.
Okay.
So, I mean... That speaks loudly when you think about the 1940s. There wasn't a list anywhere that I could say, oh, hey, here they are, kind of a thing. So yeah, that made it much more difficult.
For sure, yeah. So in what capacity did women serve when we're talking about World War II?
Well, they served in all four branches of the military, as well as the WASP program, and we'll talk a little bit about that probably more, but which was women air transport, women air service pilots who were trained under the military but weren't actually considered part of the military. The first military branch to accept women was the Army, and it was first called the Women's Auxiliary Army Corps, WAAC, mm-hmm. And then after about a year, it changed just to the Women's Auxiliary Corps, Women's Army Corps, right, excuse me. Second was the Navy, and they were the WAVES. Their acronym was Women Accepted for Voluntary Emergency Service.
Okay.
So, and then we had the Coast Guard, and they were the SPARS, and that was short for Semper Paratus, which means always ready. Lastly were the Marines. Big surprise. The commandant of the Marine Corps at that period in time said, if we're going to accept women, they're going to be Marines. They're not going to have an acronym. If they're a Marine, they're a Marine. Right. And then I mentioned the WASP program as well.
So in the research for this book, in researching the women who served in this county, did many women die in service?
Not from Beltrami County.
Okay.
The numbers are a little off, but if you look at what I'm going to call the quasi-legitimate sources that list the number of women killed in World War II, is right around 500.
Oh.
Some sites say a little bit fewer, some sites say a little bit more, but the average would be about 500 women that actually died in military service in World War II.
And were they like on the front line, or was it artillery? I mean, just like what were the circumstances that this would happen?
Most of the time they were nurses. And so, for example, they would not be on the front lines, but they would be right behind the front lines with their field hospitals, right? And sometimes they would get artillery shells into the camps or into the hospitals. Or they would be flight nurses and the aircraft would crash and kill everybody aboard, that kind of thing. So that was most typical of, it was nurses typically that were killed because of those kinds of circumstances.
So you've come up with 102 women from Beltrami County who you include in this book. These are all notable women for the service that they've done. Are there any particular women or stories that really stuck out for you? And can you tell us why?
The one, I mean, there's many, but the one that I thought was really kind of sad was we talked about that WASP program. Mm-hmm. And in order for a woman to be accepted into the WASP, the Women's Air Service Pilots, they had to have twice the qualifications a man did to be admitted as a pilot candidate. And so the number of flight hours, they already had to have a pilot's license. They had to have twice the flight hours that a man did. And then they went down to Love Field in Texas, where they basically participated in military training for 6 months. And then after that, they basically flew aircraft around the country. So if someone needed a fighter over here, they would fly it from here to there. A transport plane, they flew all the different aircraft that the military had at that time. And one of the gals from Bemidji here, Ruth, and I'm gonna kill this name because it's KJOME, so I'm going to say Comey. She was in charge of the Farm Security Administration office here in Bemidji. And she had taken flying lessons here in town, had her pilot's license. And the funny thing is, actually, she lived three doors down where I live now.
Oh, wow.
So that's kind of cool. You know, I go by the house. Hey, she used to live there. And anyway, she, in the spring of 1944, volunteered and was accepted into the WASP program, went down to Love Field. And they ran two classes at a time. They were, you know, there was Group A and Group B, and one was ahead of the other group. And in December of 1944, the Group A, Ruth was in Group B, Group A graduated. 13 days later, the military cut the WASP program off.
Oh, wow.
So, she never got to graduate. Oh. I mean, she went through all that work and all that effort and all, and that volunteerism, and then 13 days after that, Group A graduated, and they said the WASP program wasn't needed anymore because by that time, we controlled the air over Germany. We controlled the air basically over the Pacific, and we didn't need as many pilots because there were a lot of pilots, men, coming back that could do that job. And once again, we don't want you taking jobs from men, so we're, thanks for your service, but go away kind of a thing. That was just sad to me that all that time and effort, and then, right when she's going to graduate, then they cancel the program.
Right. Did you get a sense of some kind of common denominator as far as why these women wanted to serve? I mean, I think there's kind of the obvious, you want to serve their country, especially during a time like that. But was there anything else that really stuck out to you as a motivation for why these women wanted to do this?
Well, without it being written down anywhere, but if you looked at the personalities, and if you read the book, you'll pick up some commonalities between all of those women. They were adventurous. They were very brave. They weren't going to fit into that stereotype. You can be a teacher or secretary or a housewife. Mm-hmm. I mean, they were like, no, I'm going to take flying lessons. I'm going to be an army nurse. I'm going to do these things, and I'm going to be sent overseas. And so they were very brave women. And I'm not saying other women weren't. I'm just saying that they were extraordinary in the fact that I'm gonna go do this thing, and I'm gonna face the obstacles, and you can imagine the harassment and all the other things I had to put up with, because in the 1940s it was a very different world for women. And same thing when we were talking about Ruth earlier. After Ruth, the program was cut off, she actually joined the Red Cross and went over to France, still during the war, and served with the Red Cross over there. Yeah. And stayed over in France. And I think she came back in 1946, I think, is when she flew back from France.
How does this kind of research and work support the Bemidji community?
Well, for a number of different reasons. You know, to me personally, you know, I grew up in a military family. You know, I'm the adjutant for the American Legion Post now. I mean, I volunteer at the Veterans Home. All those kinds of things are very important to me. Because the military, that's a sacrifice, men and women. And I think it's important that we try to remember these folks. And if it's having a book in the library that if someone gets curious about, well, I heard my grandmother was in the mm-hmm. service. Well, there's a resource for you, perhaps. And secondly, I'm not saying this was easy because it took me about 2 years, but people can do this. It's not something like, oh, you've got to be a genius or you've got to be a Stephen King writer or something like that to have that innate skill to be able to do this. It's, you know, it's if you're willing to put in the work, you can have something like this, which I think is a value.